Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are here with me today. We've got another amazing show in store for you with a guest in studio. Oh, I so love when my guests can come in studio. It makes life so much better. I want to get to her real quick. But first, of course, we have our quotes of the day from Mike Dooley in the Universe and from Abraham. So let's see what they have in store for us today. First, from the Universe. Only in hindsight will the miracles become obvious. Will you see you were guided and you will find there was order all along. Otherwise, you once said a long, long time ago, it would all be too easy. We agreed, the Universe. We love our quotes from Mike Dooley in the Universe, having a little fun with us today. Reminding us that, you know, even though we don't always see the perfection in the moment and we don't always see the divine plan as it's playing out in our life, it is still there. And perhaps, maybe, the Universe is saying, look, we agreed to this a long time ago before we ever incarnated, before we ever came here. We were like, you know, if I know everything right from the get-go, it's going to be a pretty boring life, so just let me forget everything. And then that'll be the fun of life, of rediscovering the fact that it's all in divine order and divine perfection, and things are exactly the way they're supposed to be, and it's all perfect. So even though it doesn't feel that way sometimes, even though it might not always seem like it, things really are moving along exactly the way they're supposed to. Or as I like to say, the Universe is unfolding exactly the way it should. And, thank you, Zena. Already starting to get our fans piling on the Facebook Live. But yes, it's life. There is absolute perfection in life. And we may not always see it. We may not always understand it. It may not always look the way we want it to look, you know, but that's about us. That's not about life. But we agree to it. It actually all is perfect. And I'm sure many of you can relate to this, that there are times in our lives, especially, you know, who knows, 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, when we were going through something excruciating, that at the time we were like, oh my God, please, how do I stop this? How can I let this go? How do I get past this? And now we can look back on it with a new perspective. And we realize, oh my God, like that was one of the greatest times of my life. I learned so much. I grew so much. I can't believe it. And we laugh about it and we have a good joke about it. But at the time, it didn't really seem that way. So what I always like to say is, look, let's just remove the judgment for a little while. Let's just try and live without saying this is right or wrong, good or bad. Let's just do that tomorrow, okay? Just put it off by 24 hours. We'll wait 24 hours, and then the next day maybe things will seem a little clearer, and if they don't, okay, we'll put it off a little bit longer. And let's just keep doing that until we wait and we see how things actually will work out for us, because we really don't know. And we can say this is great, this is wonderful, and it can lead us down some path that might not be so great. Or it can say, oh, this is awful, this is horrible, and it leads us to something wonderful. So let's just assume we agreed before we all got here, and it's actually all unfolding exactly the way it should. Wonderful quote from the universe. Okay, let's see what Abraham has in store for us today. Ooh. Complaining about anything holds you in the place of refusing to receive the things you've been asking for. Justifying about anything holds you in the place of refusing to let in the very things that you've been asking for. Blaming someone holds you in a place of refusing, are you getting the theme here? To let in the things that you've been asking for. Feeling guilty, feeling angry. It doesn't matter what you call it. It is a refusal, not a conscious one. You're asking, you can't help but ask. The universe is yielding. It must yield. It's a big question, folks. Why aren't you letting it in? So this kind of goes to, you know, the heart of what Abraham teaches about, which is the art of allowing. And in this case, really using the contrast of what kinds of feelings, attitudes, emotions, energies are not allowing things in. So those things are complaining, justifying, blaming, feeling guilty, angry, upset, horrified, disempowered, any of what some people might call lower vibration energies that we hold them. It's an active act of resistance. We're actually saying, no, I don't want to allow more good stuff in right now. I would rather feel this feeling. And I'm sure you all know that quote, you can be right or you can be happy, but you can rarely be both. So when we give up the desire to be right and we give up the importance of being right, and we give up, you know, making others wrong to make ourselves right, that then we can be happy. And then we can yield to the universe's yielding to our desires. You know, Abraham talks about it all the time. We're constantly launching rockets of desire. We're constantly looking for something more, better, more fun, more joyful. And it's our natural state. Like we experience contrast. We experience something that we realize, oh, well, this is definitely not something I like to experience a lot. And by experiencing that thing, we launch the desire of, I want more of the opposite thing. Like, they're doing construction on my block and it's really noisy and it makes it hard to sleep. I really like being around quiet places. So I really want more quiet in my life. And sure enough, that's the direction that we will move if we release resistance. Now, what moves us in that direction might be something like, well, more things are like happening in your neighborhood or in your building that you don't like. Maybe pipes burst, maybe all this craziness is happening. And the universe is trying to get you to move. Hey, you said you wanted more quiet. You got to get out of this place to have more quiet. Until finally you get the message that, oh, if I want more quiet, this isn't the place for me to be. Let me find a place, maybe a house in the country, in the woods, or just a different neighborhood that's more quiet. So you see, it's like this act of resistance. It can be very unconscious. And it can be just a holding on to something that's no longer serving our desires, yet we think because we're already in this place that we should be holding on to it. And the more we allow, the more we can let go, the more we can not worry about being right about our life and just be open to the guidance that's right in front of us. I know it's a cliche, going with the flow, but it's only a cliche because it's so true that when we just drop the resistance to the natural guidance of life that's right in front of us, then beauty and joy and all kinds of things can open up for us. So your homework this week is to look at, where are you in resistance? Where are we holding on to some energy, some thought, some attitude, how we view a particular individual? Where are we holding on to something that's putting us in an active state of resistance that keeps us from really bringing to us what we truly and deeply desire? And let's just notice it. Just recognize it. No, you don't have to judge yourself for it. You don't have to, you know, go, oh, shame, bad Sam, you were in resistance here. No, just notice it. And notice where you want something different and just lean in the direction of that different thing. Lean in the direction of letting go and allowing the flow to come. Wonderful. So, two great quotes from Mike Dooley in the Universe and from Abraham. I hope you enjoyed them as much as I did, because you know I love these quotes. But I do get a lot of positive feedback. A lot of people do love the quotes. But now it is my extreme pleasure to welcome to the studio Camille Conte. Did I say that?
Hi, good to see you.
I tell you what, I love those quotes, and I'm already thinking, how long can I hang out with you? Because it is so great to have somebody who's talking like that right smack in the middle of the day.
Absolutely, in the middle of Manhattan. So Camille is an award-winning radio personality and winner. Winner, thank you, of the Marconi Award, the highest honor given to broadcasters from the National Association of Broadcasters. She's been behind the mic since 1987. Wow. And her podcast, The Camille Conte Show, is entering its seventh year, and it mixes conversations about life with great music. The show has over 28,000 downloads and uploads every Friday to iTunes and Podbean, and airs Sunday evenings on 90.3 FM, KNBA.org in Anchorage, Alaska. I don't know how many listeners I have in Anchorage. I'm sure I might have one or two.
I'm sure you do.
But so go to KNBA.org if you want to listen to it. Camille is a licensed spiritual living practitioner with the international organization Centers for Spiritual Living. Oh, Centers for Spiritual Living. I know them. And is skilled in teaching people how to tell a new story about themselves and their life, because it's all a story. She has been invited to speak in Alaska, Oregon, Idaho, New Jersey, New York. Right here. Camille has created the course Strengthen Your Spiritual Muscles. Ooh, I like that. That's a good one. And the transformational online program Ready for Change. Camille is currently a content creator for AudioJoy, which is a wellness app coming out of L.A., her largest audio production project ever. Camille just finishing up recording, editing, and mastering her audiobook for her first book, The Confusion Experiment. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Camille.
So glad to be here. Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you here. I'm really glad that we got you while you were in New York City, all the way from Alaska. A little bit different than Anchorage, isn't it?
Well, you know, I'm a Jersey girl.
Ah.
So I was born in Jersey.
What town? And
in Dumont, in Bergen
Dumont.
County.
Okay, yeah.
And then left for Alaska in 1987. Because it was the furthest I could go and still be in the country. I was ready to kind of break free a little bit.
I always wondered which is further, Alaska or Hawaii?
Wow. Well, it's 8 hours door to door if you're flying from Newark to Alaska. And it's about 5 or 6 from Anchorage to Honolulu. So it's pretty close. They're pretty close.
I think it's like 9 hours. Because when I went to Hawaii, I think it was a 9-hour flight to Maui.
Yeah, from here, it's 9 to 10 hours for sure.
Yeah.
So, but very much worth it to both locations.
Me, personally, I'm like not liking the cold anymore. So if I move, I'm going to Hawaii.
I understand. I'll see you there.
All right. So, everybody, it's time for us to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to get into her new book. Actually, may I have this for
Yeah, for sure.
The Confusion Experiment. Yes. And we're going to talk all about that. and spiritual practices and all kinds of amazing stuff. You're going to get to know this amazing, amazing woman during this hour. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on talkradio.nyc and on Facebook Live. Oops. And we're talking today with Camille Conte, author of the book, The Confusion Experiment. Okay, so I always like to give my audience a little bit of background before we get into dig into the work. So I'm just wondering, Camille, like you've led a fairly spiritual life. Was it always that way, or was it something that came to you rather young, or was there some precipitating event that like just kind of launched you off in this new direction?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say that right around when I was 18 years old, I read the book Illusions by Richard Bach.
Oh, yes.
Tales of the Reluctant Messiah, which is a must read for every person breathing.
Yeah, that's a good old
book. Yeah, it is. And so I didn't realize that the way I have been living was kind of spiritual. And I found myself in that book. I found the way I was thinking in that book. And I grew up in a Catholic environment. And from a very young age, I never really felt in sync with the teachings. And I could never really find myself, you know, either literally up at the altar.
Right.
This was a time when altar girls were not allowed to exist. And now, of course, they do.
Yeah, so I was always only altar boys
back
then.
For sure. So I was always in search. So I would just say that by the time I got to Alaska, because I left New Jersey wanting more, seeking more, looking for more, that is kind of where my spiritual life was awaiting me.
Ah, I see. Yeah, like my good friend Joe Nunziata likes to say, he's a recovering Catholic.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so why Alaska?
I was heading to San Francisco because I really was ready
took
to...
Took a wrong turn?
Yeah. You know, I was born to run, as Mr. Springsteen says. Yeah. And I was just ready. I came out of an environment that talked about getting married, having kids, get a job in Manhattan. And it wasn't what I was about. So I was eager to explore the world. So I was heading to California, and then I met a man at a WNEW-FM concert down at the Jersey Shore. He was from California, but living in Alaska. We kept in touch, and eventually I went out to visit him. And I always say, you know, my heart is in New Jersey, but my soul, I think, is probably in Alaska, because it is a stunningly beautiful place.
Yeah, I have not yet been there yet, but I would love to come. WNEW, I loved when I was a kid, WNEW, Vince Scalza, was the
Dave Herman.
Dave Herman.
Scott Muni.
Scott Muni. Oh, my
yeah.
God.
And I have all those cassettes because we would record all those interviews when he interviewed Yoko Ono and they did the King Biscuit Flower Hour.
Yeah.
And I have them tucked away in a box somewhere.
Oh, my God. I'm having such nostalgia right now. Oh, my God. Wonderful. Wonderful. So what got you into radio? How did you happen to choose radio as a career?
I knew it from a very young age.
Oh, yeah?
Because when I was
a
kid. Yeah, well, that's for sure. But I also grew up with the best radio, WABC, WNEW, and I used to listen to them on my little transistor radio at night, tucked under my pillow. And I thought, wow, this is magic.
Yeah,
and I want to be the magician. That's really what it was. So I felt that my father was an entertainer. Mm-hmm. He worked, of course, during the day in New York at Blue Cross Blue Shield, but he was a drummer and a band leader. So a little bit of that in my blood as well.
Oh,
and
okay.
I always knew I wanted to be behind the mic, and I love it.
Cool.
It's a beautiful thing.
Cool, cool. And so when did that transform for you? When did radio turn into something? When did your path turn into something more than just about radio?
Just very recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when I went to Alaska, I went purposefully to continue, you know, to pursue my career in radio. And I got a job right off the bat and was riding my bicycle in, you know, 5 feet of fresh snow and falling over and punching through the snow thinking, oh, my gosh, what am I doing here?
You just reminded me, you know, back when I was in high school, I think it was like my junior year or senior year of high school, there was this big, big snowstorm. And me and a friend, like, he bought this thermos of coffee. I picked up some donuts, and we went down to the WNEW studio and brought them coffee and donuts because it was like nothing was running but the subways, I think.
That's fabulous.
And then we had a blast there. It was so much fun.
That was such great radio. I mean, we grew up with great, great radio.
Yeah,
it's not like that anymore.
No,
but
unfortunately not.
So I got to Anchorage, and I got a job as a salesperson, and soon into it, the guy's like, you want to be on the air, don't you? Yes, I do. So I got that 4 p.m. to midnight shift, and it just went from there. And it really was my part of my destiny is to work in radio. And I had great success up in Anchorage, and it's just a beautiful experience. So I did that from like 1987 right through about 2001, right around, you know, 9/11 actually was one of my last days on the air in traditional radio. So the whole spiritual thing was happening alongside that.
Oh, it was.
So I'm doing my rock and roll radio thing and loving it and interviewing all these great people. And alongside of that, I'm taking the deep dive into myself.
Right? Was there some precipitating event, something that happened, or just kind of naturally happened?
I had a friend up there, Deb Carlson, who for 1 year invited me to go to a place called the Alaska Center for Spiritual Living. I said no. For a year, because I thought, this is church. I don't do church anymore. You know, bless her heart, she'd never stopped asking. And finally I said, you're not going to stop until I go, right? She's like, right. So I just went to shut her up.
Thank heavens for friends like that.
Truly, because I never left.
No.
And my heart just opened that day to a philosophy that's very similar, if not totally aligned to yours, about the oneness of life.
That was started by the Maharishi, right?
Well, it's actually coming from what was religious science.
Oh, okay.
Right? That was back in the day with Ernest Holmes.
Ernest Holmes,
And then you had, you know, Myrtle and Charles Fillmore, and they went off to this side, and they did Unity, and then there was Divine Science, and all of these fantastic, cutting-edge...
New thought movements.
Yes. Yeah. And they all broke out and did their own thing, but they were collaborators.
Yeah.
And they always were supporting each other. And there were a lot of women in New Thought at the turn of the century.
Yes,
I really resonated
yes.
with that. I was like, finally, seeing women honored for their wisdom, their intuition, and their ability to be divine and spiritual, you know?
Right,
so I got on the education track, and I just started taking one class after another, and it was intense, right?
Sure.
I mean, it's messy inside.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Once you finally stop and start to become present to what's going on inside, it's like, oh, shit, what the hell's going on
here? It's like a construction site up at the corner. Yeah. So you got to wear a hard hat and get your flashlight out. And so it took time, many, many years to dig through the rubble of my upbringing and untangle my belief system and, you know, just come to understand who I really am at the core of my being, let alone what I really think and believe.
Right,
so it's a lifelong journey.
Right. Yes, absolutely. As my friend likes to say, it's a lifelong PhD process in personal development.
Exactly.
When did you start meditating? Did you start meditating right away, or when she?
No, gosh, no. Type A personality. I had no interest in closing my eyes.
Not a chance of sitting still for you, huh?
Exactly. But when I got into this spiritual education track to become a spiritual practitioner, mm-hmm. meditation was part of the spiritual practices you had to commit to. So, you know, it was one of these things, right?
When I open,
is it over?
Close,
right. Yeah. And I eventually, and I was, I lied. I mean, I was saying I was doing it. That's how adverse I was
really?
To the practice.
Oh,
and you know
so
why?
Funny.
Because I was really afraid to confront my my inner world. I was afraid to confront my mind because I was already struggling with my mind awake and conscious. And the idea of closing my eyes and being with it in the silence, it was just, it was scary for me.
It was very confronting. Yeah,
it
yeah,
really
yeah.
was.
Yeah, because often when we're so external focused,
yes.
it's to avoid something that's going on internally.
Sure. And sometimes you just don't even know there is an internal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm doing radio. We're doing all this stuff. I don't know about the inner world, really.
Right,
I have a
right,
sense of it.
Right.
So I had to, you know, get real. And so I began the practice of meditation. Mm-hmm. And prior to the confusion experiment, I, you know, I was meditating maybe 30 minutes tops at my peak as it relates to the length. But
right.
with the experiment, obviously, it took me to a whole new place.
Okay. So since you bring it up, let's start talking there. The confusion experiment, what is it? And why did you write about it?
Well, the confusion experiment was actually a challenge from Kyle Cease. And he's
okay.
a former Comedy Central comedian, and now he's a New York Times bestselling author.
Oh, really?
And a transformational, you know, coach and teacher like you. And I was selected to be one of four people at a retreat in Los Angeles with him, one-on-one.
Oh,
and
wow.
I went there to get business clarity and get strategy and all this stuff. That's why I loved your quote about when things don't work out. It's not
right.
the universe's fault. It's just our attachment to how it's supposed to be. So I was very, very attached
yeah.
to what was going to happen that weekend. So much to my surprise, Kyle starts bringing up this confusion. Well, you're confused, and you know, and I resisted it all the way to the end until finally I said, okay, I'm confused. And so his challenge was meditate an hour every day for 100 days. Afterwards, grab your phone and roll tape and capture whatever's coming out. And as if that wasn't enough, then post it on Facebook. What? You know?
Whoa.
Yeah. But the goal, well, the experiment was to see if meditation could heal my confusion.
Oh.
That was the prescription for the diagnosis, right?
I see.
And
okay.
And so I did it.
Yeah.
I did it. And when I got done recording all the 100 days and going through the process, I watched all 100 videos. I binged watched my own videos.
How long were they about?
It took, I think the longest was about 18 minutes.
Oh, okay.
And there, it's on YouTube, actually, now. You can find it under the confusion
wonderful.
Experiment. It is, because what I realized is it was like putting the camera in the chrysalis.
Mm.
Honestly.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I was doing.
Right.
And I didn't know
right.
what I had said yes to. And I didn't know what the heck was going to happen.
Right.
But I really was watching my own transformation.
Wow.
And it was a wow. And I came out of that weekend and I thought, well, I need to talk about this. So I gave a talk at my spiritual center in Anchorage. And I kept thinking all the while about Kyle's challenge to write a book. Because that was the other thing he said. Write a book. Write about this. He says, there's no books out there about confusion. I challenge you to write it. If you don't write it, he said, I'll write it. So, of course, you said, no. I'll do it.
I'll do it. You know how to get to your
exactly.
A-type personality.
Exactly.
Challenge what? You write? No, I'm taking this. Wow.
Yeah.
100. So 100 days straight meditation, an hour every day.
Painful.
What was the hardest part about doing it consistently for you?
Doing it.
Just doing it. Just sitting there
so
and doing it.
So painful. I mean, it was bad. In the very beginning, I would fall asleep and realize that because I woke up.
Right.
So I thought, okay, I got to get out of bed, splash some water on my face, right? It was a process to figure out, how am I going to do this, right? Because initially it was like 7 a.m., I'm going to get meditate.
Okay.
But I resisted it, really. The me within me that resisted it all the way to the end, really.
Mm.
There were some days I didn't meditate till late. Sometimes I didn't roll tape till like 11 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really fascinating to watch how that aspect of me was, my mind was in such resistance, constantly telling me, this is so stupid. Why are you doing this? We don't do video. We do radio. They're going to mock you out. Look how you look. Your hair is all frizzy. I mean, wow. And all of that is in the video, because I share that with after each each meditation. And so the book, the second part of the book is the transcripts of those videos.
Oh.
Seriously edited. Wow. So that you can walk through those 100 days with me.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Okay, great. It's time for us to take a break.
Okay.
When we come back, let's talk about what were some of those insights or what were some of those juicy bits that you got out of that process, okay? So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. Let me just give a quick shout out to all our friends on Facebook. Joe Marie, Lisa, Janet, Zena, thank you all for tuning in. Paul William, loyal listener. Paula, Caracappa, creator of the Awaken Fair, wonderful place to go to. Evelyn, Dennis, Joan, Mira, thank you for tuning in. I really appreciate it. So, Camille.
Yes.
100 days.
Yes.
An hour a day.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
What was like the first, let's just say, change you noticed in yourself over those 100 days?
When I came out of that weekend, I was really depressed.
Oh.
Yeah. I was unbelievably excited to go. And when I came out of there, I was depressed because, like you were saying in those quotes, I didn't get what I went to go get.
You wanted, right,
I went to get business strategy, business coaching. I went to get answers. And I wanted this person to help me figure it out, right?
Okay.
I had no idea I was going to come home saying yes to such a ridiculous experiment as meditating for an hour every day for 100 days. So I think in the beginning, I just noticed, like right around day 8,
mm-hmm.
I just started to feel a little bit better. I was still very depressed and confused, but I noted that I was feeling a little better. I think the first big shift I had was I realized, I only realized it through the experience, and that's why I really appreciate the work you're doing, because you, at some point, you have to have your own experience.
Absolutely.
That's where it's at.
Right.
You know, we have really come through the time of books, and though, of course, please read mine, workshops, and you know what I'm saying? Like, it all points us back to having our own experience of ourselves,
right.
And that's really what this was about.
Right.
So the first shift was, I'm not my thoughts.
Right.
My first shift was because in the meditation process, like the first thing that happens is you're tangled up in your thoughts.
Right.
And I was swimming in them. And after a while, I realized, wait a minute, am I confused? Am I confusion? So that was the first awakening of questioning, wait a minute.
Okay.
And I started to realize I'm not my thoughts. I have a thought.
Right.
So I can say I feel sad.
Right.
But now I don't necessarily say I am
sad.
And that's a really big deal.
It's a big distinction. Yeah. It's the whole idea. We are not our thoughts.
Yeah.
We are not our feelings. We are not even our physical bodies. You know, I like to say to people, look, every cell in your body today is different than it was 7 years ago. So you are not your physical body, because what your physical body was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, is completely different than what it is today.
Yeah, and as you know, working with clients, at some point, they have to have the experience of those words. Otherwise, it doesn't mean anything
at all. Exactly.
So that's what I would say the first situation was, is I realized the crux of the experiment was I detached from my thoughts and I was able to see more clearly the workings of my mind.
Right.
And I would say to people, if you're going to master anything, master how your mind works. Come to know how it works. Because the second big thing was the journey from the head to the heart.
Yeah.
And that probably
the furthest 18 inches you'll ever travel in your life.
Incredible, right? Just really incredible. And the way the mind works and the way the heart works, very, very different.
Yeah.
And I talk about that extensively in the book. And it's one of the more passionate things I'm excited to talk about, because we are living so deep in our heads these days.
Right.
And we're struggling so much because things are changing.
Right.
And we're seeking the answers from our mind, but it doesn't have the answers.
Right. Right.
As you know, the answers are in the heart. And the heart wants back in. Like, the heart's like, hey, man, I want back in the game here.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely
been cut out of everything.
Yes.
You know, things like intuition are completely mocked as a legitimate experience in business. That's why I love your show, The Conscious Consultant. I mean, it is a real thing to use that wisdom within, that innate knowing, in business.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And it's, you know, here in the West, we've so glorified the mind and put it up on a pedestal, you know, we don't even realize that it makes lousy decisions all the time for us and never even apologizes.
Exactly.
The best way I say of the mind is an incredible tool, but it should be the heart's servant, not the heart's master.
Exactly.
It should be the heart's soldier, not the heart's enslaver.
And here's what's interesting, though. Mm-hmm. As metaphysicians, there's a lot of emphasis on the mind.
Yes.
And a lot of emphasis on thinking and affirmations. And so it was a kind of an interesting moment, right, to have that, which I studied and mastered, suddenly shift to something else. And maybe that's the piece where, as metaphysicians, we're bringing the heart back into the mix of the metaphysical reality of how the mind works with the heart, because the mind can only use what it knows.
Right.
That's why I'm really this change topic is a beautiful thing, right?
Yes.
When you have an inspired moment, like, oh, I want to do this, the mind immediately looks to the past. And if you've not done it and it can't draw on that, it's like, oh, you better not do this.
Right.
Or
right.
if you did and it was quote unquote a failure, it'll make the case that you definitely shouldn't do
it.
This,
right? It's not safe to do
exactly.
it again.
Exactly.
Right. There was like so many things as you were talking that like came to mind, and now I've like just left. I know what I wanted to ask you. During this process of doing this experiment over these 100 days, your friends, your family, did anybody say anything to you? Like, are you crazy? What are you doing? Are you on drugs? You know?
Yes, and yes. absolutely. I was in Alaska for much of it, though I was in New Jersey as well.
Oh, okay.
And I kind of was private about it. I got to be honest with you. I had an ego thing about it. Because when I left that weekend, I was like, what the hell?
Right.
What did I just say yes to? This is ridiculous. I had told my family I was going away for this retreat weekend, and I was going to come home, and my calendar was going to be booked, and all these things were going to happen. Not meditate.
Right.
So, you know, I didn't even post the videos on my main page. I have a secondary page because I was so like, what are people going to say?
So
they knew what was happening, but I kept it private, really, for much of the journey. Outside of the people I did the retreat with, who also were doing different things along the same lines.
But even though you didn't tell them anything, did they notice anything? Did they see any shifts and changes in you, or not really until later?
I really don't know, because I was so deep in my own stuff. I would say, like later on, people noticed a change for sure, because I did change.
Right.
I changed dramatically. But in a way that only is better.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like when you clear out all the junk
and you become more of yourself.
You know, that I think it's David Lynch that says, you know, one of the best thing about meditation is you become more and more you.
Yeah,
and that's the other thing I learned in meditation. There's a you behind the you.
Yes.
You know, there's that divine self behind you. I always say, like, the one that breathes you is always there.
Right.
And you get to touch that. You get to visit that. You get to experience that in and through meditation.
Right. What was your first thought when you finished the 100 days?
I did it. I was really proud of myself. I was really, really proud of myself. It was not easy.
No.
I dragged myself through much of it. You know, and I would say right around day 60, you can kind of tell that something is changing in how I'm speaking on the videos, right? Because I moved from like a personal experience to more of a teaching, sharing these insights that I'm starting to realize. Because, you know, as a radio broadcaster, I went through this whole experience of letting go of my identity.
Right.
And that freaked me out because CC is who I am. It's who I know myself to be. It's who my audience knows. And who will I be if, without her, right? So that was a whole, and of course, the truth is that I was just letting go of my attachment to it. It always comes with us, right? Because it's who we are. So there were some really deep things that happened, for sure. And the victim, I said, one of my days is I realized I gave up my victim card, this idea that life is happening to me versus through me.
Or for us.
Or for us, which is even greater, right? Absolutely, for us, definitely.
My friend Jennifer Huff, who will be on the show later this year, I was at one of her weekends, and she said, life happens for us, not to us. And it stuck with me ever since.
Absolutely, beautiful.
Absolutely.
And this is the awakening that you're involved in as well. This is what we're waking up to.
Right.
And it's painful because stuff's collapsing.
Yes.
I mean, the infrastructure is clearly crumbling.
Right.
As it should.
Right.
Because it's...
because we need something new that's more sustainable.
Exactly.
In that process, more conscious.
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, once you released your attachment to what you went to the weekend for, did anything shift or change in your business?
Oh, gosh. I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. That didn't happen, though, till very late in the game. Probably in the 70s days when I kind of got there. I remember going to the sheet that was what the weekend was all about, and nowhere on that sheet did it promise anything. that I was convinced I was going to go get, right? And I was like, oh my God. But you see how powerful that is? We see what we want to see.
Right. The story that we tell ourselves totally colors our reality, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's something I teach my clients all the time when I coach people. It's like, it's all a made-up story.
Yes.
It's all a made-up story, which is great because we can always make up a new story.
Yes, right on. That's the power of that beautiful moment.
Yeah.
That is so true. And that's what I'm also involved in these days, is telling a new story for myself.
Right.
Because when you're in transition and change, and when you're segueing from one thing to another, again, it can be terrifying.
Yeah.
But what I learned in this experience is that the heart uses feelings as the preview, right? The mind is all about facts, figures, data. It's got to know before you go.
Right.
The heart says, wait a minute, I got the instructions. I'm your GPS here.
Right.
Put in your destination, which is the feeling, and I will take you there.
Yeah.
And it's a process of trust.
Yeah.
It's a process of coming to know, well, who am I trusting?
Yeah.
Right? But you know how it is when you walk into a room, you either feel the good vibe or you don't.
Right?
It's about feelings, which is what Esther Hicks and Abraham are all about, is activating the feeling state.
Yes, absolutely, because that feeling state is the energy, what leads us to that energy, leads us to that path that brings us what we really, truly, deeply want inside of us.
And it's difficult sometimes. Because what they're saying is, we want you to look at the conditions of your life and then turn away from them or look beyond them and tell a story of the thing you want but you can't see.
Right.
So teaching people, including myself, how do I feel the thing that's not here yet? Is a practice.
Yeah.
But it's fun.
Yes.
It really
it absolutely
is. It's fun.
It absolutely is.
Most of the time.
Absolutely. All right. Believe it or not, oh my God, it's time to take our last break of the show. So when we come back, I just want to find out a little bit more about the book.
Sure.
And what you got from all of this, from writing the book, not just doing the videos, because writing a book is a different process.
That's for sure.
Absolutely. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Thank you. I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at TalkingAlternative.com.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Leibowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. Welcome, Leah and Patty, loyal listener. Patty, she says, hello, Sam and Camille.
Hello.
Hi, Patty. Thank you for tuning in. Okay. So, you know, going through this 100 days of meditating and doing the videos, you know, that's one thing. But sitting down and writing a book is something completely different. Mm-hmm. What did you learn about yourself in the process of writing the book?
That I'm pretty awesome.
That's a good thing to learn. Absolutely.
Because this was not an easy thing to do. Yeah. I have to give credit, though, to Christy Morgan. Christy uh-huh. Morgan listened to all the videos uh-huh. and transcribed them.
Ah.
And then they had to be seriously edited.
Right.
And then I had a lot of notes from the weekend, and I had been writing about it. And so, you know, I had to just go through and comb it through. It was very different from radio. I didn't necessarily like the experience of writing a book, only because I'm so spoiled by the live moment of radio. And I didn't think I was an author, see? And my friend finally said to me, stop saying you're not an author. I'm editing your book. Like, stop it, right? And I was like, oh, so there was a real resistance to accepting that I'm an author, right? So, but it was exhilarating and it was intense. Like I had to go through 5 or 6 proofs, had to read the book at least 8 or 9 times, dealing with the errors and all of that, you know, and getting the cover, which I saw in a meditation one day. And then you write the book and you release it. And then there's this other piece, which is called the marketing of it.
Yeah, so the promotions.
And that's really humbling.
Yeah.
Like, how do you break through the noise?
Yeah.
And that's why I'm so grateful to be sitting here with you. I really appreciate it. Yeah, I really do.
You're quite welcome.
It's lovely.
Did you continue to meditate after the 100
days?
Yes.
I don't do an hour every day.
Okay.
But I'm still holding good at about 40 minutes, 30 minutes. Oh. Never less than 30.
You know what they say. It's like if you can do just at least 20
sure.
minutes
Absolutely.
Daily, that's more important than doing an hour once a week.
And here's the thing. I teach people how to do a 60-second 60-second breathing.
Oh.
Let's just start there.
Okay.
Because we
you
don't
do
even
that
breathe.
For an audience?
Yeah.
Let's do it right now.
Okay. So this is really simple because they say shortness of breath because it's a short distance from here to here. We usually breathe just this far, right?
Right, to the chest.
And
right.
breathing is the only thing that actually interrupts the autonomic nervous system, right? So you talked about fight and flight earlier. And the breath is the only thing that communicates to the brain there's no crisis. Right? And now, instead of a charging elephant, it's an email from the boss saying, we need to talk.
Right.
It might as well be the same thing.
Right.
So
right.
you simply breathe and you become mindful. And so it's just like this. And if you can just employ See, the mind's already saying that's stupid. It's not going to work. How is 60 seconds going to make a difference, right? It's already got its chatter.
Right.
But if you can just give yourself the gift of doing that mindfully throughout the day, before you make a difficult phone call, before you get out of your car, before you go to work, if you can just start practicing the breath, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So I tell people, just set your phone for 60 seconds and just do mindful breathing. Then when the phone goes off, get up and go about your business.
Right.
If you can do that every day, you're on your way.
Absolutely. And you could do it any time during the day. It's like 60 seconds. You can do it when you're on the subway, the bus, in your car.
In
you
traffic.
Could do it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
You could do it waiting online in the post office or anything, in the bank.
It's a real thing.
Yeah.
It's a real thing because we're going through very chaotic times right now. We're in major change, major shift, major transition.
Yeah.
And so we need people like those who are watching to be the ones to take the breath.
Right.
Because you take it first for yourself, but then you take it for everybody around you. You take it for your partner and your family and your kids. Teach your kids how to breathe.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a game changer, man. I am so grateful I learned about the breath, really.
Wow.
I use it often.
Wonderful.
I use it
often. Do you go out to nature much in Alaska? Do you like meditate in nature, or you just do it in home?
Well, you know, I've been in New Jersey for a bit of time because my role as caregiver has taken on a bit of a life of its own.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm grateful that I found a little place in Horworth where there's a little like lake or reservoir, and I ride my bike out there.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I mean, we all need nature, for sure.
Yeah.
And Alaska spoiled me deeply. It's stunningly beautiful up there. Yeah. So I try to go for a walk or ride my bike because that's meditative. I always tell people, you know, go for a walk. It doesn't have to be sitting still and breathing silently. If you can do that, great.
Right.
But just find the thing that takes you away from all your stimuli.
Right.
Whatever
Absolutely.
It is. Just
Absolutely.
Go do that thing.
I tell people all the time, walking meditation is one of the best meditations.
Absolutely.
Just doing a walk in the park. Or, you know, going around.
Yes, yes.
What do you hope people will get from the book?
That they're not alone.
Ah, that's a big one.
That they're not alone. And that confusion has a purpose.
Mm.
You know, sometimes we're confused because we don't have enough information.
Right.
And we're still needing to gather information. Sometimes we're confused because we have
too much
information, right?
Right?
And we were talking about this during the break where we're trained to go outside of ourselves.
Yes.
So when I left radio to do this internet thing and kind of package my work online, my mind said to me, you don't know how to do this.
Right.
So I kept going outside of myself. And but I did have moments where instinctually I thought, oh, let's just do that. Or I bet that would be it. But I kept dismissing it because my mind said, you can't know. How you're a radio person.
Right.
Let's go hire this person and spend this money.
Right.
So what I want people to also know is that their instinct is a real thing, and that their heart wants back into the game. And when they that it's important to put your hand on your heart every once in a while and say, how you doing?
Yeah,
you know, what
exactly.
do you think about this situation? Because that's really the brain. I mean, all the science shows that the brain is really the heart.
Right. That our mind is actually one brain. We actually have three brains. It's the heart and also the gut.
The gut. Wow. Yeah. Well, as an Italian, I know all about that. That brain is hungry all the time.
Before we run out of time, let's talk about Ready for Change.
Oh, my gosh. My transformational online program, I run it often. It's running in August. So if your listeners miss that opportunity, it'll come around again. 7-week online course. It is. Everybody should take it. You could. There's nobody who couldn't benefit from the deep dive into change, because change is everything.
Okay.
It's everywhere all the time.
Yeah.
And so
absolutely.
That's a powerful course. You can find more about that at thisawakeningspirit.com.
Thisawakeningspirit.com.
My educational site.
I like that.
Yeah. When I saw The Awaken, I'm like, oh my gosh, Sam and I are longtime
friends. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So that's.
So 7 weeks, how long is each
It's
lesson?
2 hours live on Sundays. So you get me like this
Sunday?
For 2 hours. And anybody can go to the website and follow me on Facebook, and I'm happy to connect and give you more information.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
And the book, though, is going to be available at CamilleConti.com.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you can get to This Awakening Spirit from Camille Conti, so that might just be the easiest
thing. Okay, so spell that for our audience. Just
it's CamilleConti.com.
Beautiful, beautiful. So you're in New Jersey right now.
I am.
What's next for Camille Conti?
Hey, house author.
Hey, there
we go.
That's
the feeling state I'm grooving into.
Oh, okay.
You know,
Do you have another book behind this one?
Yeah, I think so. I think I have another podcast coming too.
Oh.
Daughters caring for their mothers.
Ah.
This is huge.
Yes.
Caregiving is
Caregiving is huge, and learning how not to lose yourself in the
caregiving.
Oh, my
goodness. But I just interviewed a young woman who's 25 who's caring for her grandparents.
Oh.
So it's a thing that's happening.
Aging population. We're living longer.
Yeah. Oh, my
gosh. And, you know, in the old days, families stayed together for much longer, and you would have 3-4 generations in one household.
Yes.
But these days, we're spread out all over the place, and it's typically 2 generations in a household. So then when it comes to taking care of elderly parents or grandparents, it's a much different dynamic than it was 50 years ago.
I didn't know I was going to be in New Jersey.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to be on the road with my book. So when you ask me that question, I want to keep my vibrational dream alive. But at the same time, I'm still working this belief that everything's happening for my highest good, even though it doesn't look like it.
Right.
And just keep taking those steps.
Right.
So that's why moments like this are wonderful, because caregiving is a full time
yes,
gig.
It
so
is. It
yeah.
Is.
So we'll see. But I'm available to, you know, be invited to do things and talk to people. And I've got the Ready for Change class. I've got my radio show, The Camille Conti Show. So these are good creative days.
And so The Camille Conti Show comes out
every Friday. I upload it.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
It's rock and roll with this kind of stuff. It's very cool, man.
It's
like NEW and this. It's good. You would love it.
I definitely would love it. I definitely will check it out. Who do you look up to these days? Who's like your inspiration?
Well, musically, it'll always be Mr. Springsteen, because he's just a true artist in every sense of the way. Spiritually, I really am loving Matt Kahn.
Yeah, I love Matt Kahn.
I found him years ago, and boy, he's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, I found him through a friend about 3-4 years ago. And the more I see him, did you see him when he came to New York?
No, I missed it.
Oh,
I know.
I bumped into him on the street.
Did you?
Oh, my God.
How great.
It was such a thrill for me, because my wife and I, we listen to his videos all the time. And it was he did it right up near here, a few blocks from here at the church on 86th Street. And in the morning, I came down and I was walking down Amsterdam Avenue, and I was going to pick up a croissant or something before coming into the office. And I see him walking up Amsterdam Avenue going, hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. I'm like, Matt?
Yeah.
And he looks up at me and he goes, yes? I'm like, oh, my God, it's you.
Yeah.
Oh, my wife and I are coming to see you this weekend. And he goes, oh, wonderful. Oh. And he gives me a big hug.
Beautiful.
And he was telling me how, like, when he comes to a city for the first time, he walks around for, like, hours and hours, and he just blesses everything in his path.
Yeah, he's a pretty special. And he has that book, Everything Is Here to Help You.
Everything
is kind
here
of,
to
again,
help
goes back to your quotes, right?
Yes,
And Esther Hicks. I mean, what I like about Esther Hicks is that it's the same. She's saying the same thing.
Yes.
It's a practice.
Right.
And no matter what quote she gives us, no matter what video she's on, Abraham is always telling us how to be empowered by the gifts we've been given.
Right. Absolutely. You know, the one thing I just want to say about the Esther Hicks and just the whole message that they teach about law of attraction is sometimes people get a little bit too caught up in the things side of stuff. Like, oh, this is the way for me to attract more things into my life. But if you really pay attention to the underlying teachings, it's actually a very spiritual practice. And she even says, when the thought of the thing you want to create becomes so joyful to you that the having of it is irrelevant, then you've really reached the pinnacle of the practice. So it's not about the things. The things are merely an excuse.
Yes, to feel it.
To feel it, to feel better, to raise our vibration, to be more.
And I also think sometimes The Secret got a bum rap, because we are very materialistic.
Right.
And that was just meeting us where we are.
Right,
At the time, it was like...
It's a wonderful first grade primer.
It is.
That's the way I look at it. And it was tremendous, because it brought it to this mass consciousness.
Absolutely.
Which now has had tremendous effects. But,
yeah.
Oh my God, we're out of time.
Thank you so
Camille,
much.
Thank you so much for coming in studio. I so appreciate you taking the time to come
in. It's been a joy,
in.
And thank you to your
Go
listeners.
Out and get her book. It's on Amazon. It's all over the place. The Confusion Experiments, Camille Conti.
CamilleConti.com. There'll be a special offer for your listeners, so head on
go
over.
Go ahead. Tell them real quick.
Well, I'm going to give it. You can get the book for just $15 if you go to CamilleConti.com. And
wonderful.
Right now it's $20, but I want to give everybody a good deal.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Sam. I appreciate you. Thank you to my loyal listeners. Thank you for everyone who tuned in. And we will talk to you next week.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.